Good to be able to worship with him. It's been a while. He'd been unable to be out a whole lot around a bunch of people. He said he told the doctors that about the only place he goes is to church, and the doctor said, well, that's the worst place you can go. He said if it's a bunch of Christians that are living right, he said they're going to come to church even if they're sick or not. Amen. And it's a bad place to be, but it is good to be able to worship with him tonight, and good to see him come out and worship with us. Amen. Turn in your Bibles in Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And I still can't get the morning's message off my mind and off my heart, thinking about the way that we see Jesus. Amen. Thinking about how sometimes we just get so familiar. We just get so used to him. So used to it that we don't see him for who he is. We're just like his family and his acquaintances. And we miss so many opportunities to tell people about him. So many opportunities to acknowledge him in our lives and in the lives of those around us, because we get so wrapped up in us, in our feelings, so forgetful, so religious. Church got so worldly, the world's got so churchy, it's hard to tell the difference. But the ones that really trouble me are those that are so lost, that they don't want to hear about Jesus. We all got friends and family like that tonight. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for them that they'd see Jesus for who he is. If you found Acts chapter 1 tonight and you're able, we'd invite you to stand. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Brother L., would you take us to the throne of grace? Man, you may be seated. Jesus has risen, and as Dr. Luke has recorded here, he was seen by many and was witnessed by many and testified by many and assured of many that he was the risen Savior by many infallible proofs. And I'm glad today that he lets us know who he is. Amen. We can be assured when he comes our way and when he speaks unto us and when he ministers to us and when he visits with us, when we come together in his name, we can know him and know who he is. Amen. He speaks to our hearts. He speaks to our lives, and he speaks to our needs as only he can do. And I'm glad the devil might try to imitate him, but I know him. I know His voice. Amen. And I know it's Him when He speaks to my heart. That's an infallible proof unto me. Amen. I know when His Word speaks truth, and the devil comes along, and the devil says, you don't need to heed that. Don't listen to that. That's archaic. That's just old-fashioned. That's out of style. That's this and that's that. I know it's not Him. I know who's speaking to me. It's the thief and the robber and the murderer that has come to snatch away the Word. But praise God when He ministers. He makes sure that we are aware that it's Him. When we trust Him by faith, we know in whom we're trusting because of the many infallible proofs. Amen. We know the disciples who preached and testified of Him did so because of the many infallible proofs. 11 of the 12 all died as martyrs. And you wouldn't die for something that you're not assured of. Young people, hear me. Listen to me. The world tells you this is a fallacy. These are old wives' tales. These are old stories. Why would these men die? Why would these men jeopardize their lives? Why would they be willing to give up everything they had and give up their very lives for the cause of Christ? If indeed He wasn't the Christ. If indeed He hadn't proved Himself to be risen from the dead by the many infallible proofs. And His disciples are with Him, and they're questioning, and they're wanting to know. They're curious. They're like, well, I'm ready for, I don't know about you, but I've got friends that are lost, and you know what? I know there are always going to be some lost people when Jesus comes. I want to see all my loved ones saved, but I don't know about you, but I'm kind of ready for the Lord to come back. Amen. I'm kind of ready to go home. I don't know when He's going to take me home, and He might not till I'm an old man. I might die. I might not go by the way of the rapture, but I'm expecting to go by the rapture. I don't know about you, but I've got that expectation in my heart. And I don't know when. And the disciples, they wanted to know. They were curious. And He told them, you don't need to worry about that. He said, that's for my Father to know. That's in my Father's power. That's in my Father's time. Jesus told the disciples before His death, back in Matthew 24. He said, but of that day and hour, no man knows. He said, not even the Son, but the Father. God has reserved that as God the Father unto His own self. And has not revealed it unto us until just exactly when the time will be. But Jesus in His parables told us of the man who went into the far country and he left work behind for his servants to complete and to take care of. Y'all want the fans on? I see everybody keeps looking up, wanting to know. Somebody, all right, they're getting them. They're getting them. But you know, we all have a job. We all have something to do. And as they go out, they're on the Mount of Olives, Mount of Olivet, and Jesus is ready to leave them. And He charges them one more time before He leaves. And He leaves. He ascends up into the clouds and He disappears and He's out of sight. And the disciples are just standing there staring at the sky. And the angel said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen Him go. We got many today in our churches that are looking forward to Jesus coming. But that's all they're doing, is looking forward to Jesus coming. Amen. They're keeping their eye on the eastern sky. They're waiting for the trumpet to sound. They're waiting for Jesus to step out on the clouds. And they're doing absolutely nothing. We're to be busy about our Master's work. When Jesus come, he told his parents over in Matthew, I think it was chapter 2 or 3 there, or chapter 3, I guess it is, I believe, when they went to the Passover and were heading back, and they looked around and Jesus wasn't with all the crowd, and they went back. They done lost Jesus. And they went back and found him at Jerusalem, debating and teaching and listening to the lawyers and the doctors and the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And well, he was astounding and amazing them with his knowledge and his understanding. And his mother said, "Why have you done this to us?" And he said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? I don't know this morning or this evening, but I think as he's going, as we look at ourselves, we ought to say that we must be about the Father's business as well." But instead, we're sitting around. Oh, man, I just wish he would come. I believe he's coming soon. Personally, I believe he's coming. If he come tonight, it wouldn't surprise me. I believe he's coming soon. I believe things are in place. I believe prophecy's fulfilled. I believe he's just waiting as God the Son is waiting on God the Father to say, "Go get your bride." And he's going to come. But until he does, we can't sit around as a bride looking out the window waiting on the bridegroom to come. We need to be making preparations, and we need to be readying the bride of Christ. Amen? Amen? You know, when I got married, the day we got married, my wife had a whole lot of things to do that morning to get ready. She was the bride. I had to get up and put some clothes on and come to the church. Amen. But the bride, you always see them. They got a schedule. And I deal with a lot of them on these weddings today. And they tell me what their day is going to be like tomorrow. We try to have a rehearsal the night before the wedding. And they say, "Well, tomorrow I got to go do this and I got to go do that." And some of them are getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get ready to be the bride at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They got to go get their hair done. They got to go get their nails done. They got to go get somebody to, some of them go get somebody to do the makeup. They got to pick this up. They're getting the bride ready so that when the bridegroom comes and the bridegroom is here, the bride is ready for the wedding celebration. And that's what we're to be doing. We're to be preparing the bride. You say, "Well, how do we do that, Pastor?" I'm glad you asked. Jesus told us how. Verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." The disciples were commissioned to go and start to work upon the bride and to get the bride ready and to make ready for the wedding celebration. Because one day, just like he was leaving, he was coming back. The night, the last time, they said it's bad luck to see your bride before the wedding day. And I wasn't allowed to see her. I'd been in boot camp. I'd come home. We had a couple of days to see one another and to go out and to spend some time. Maybe one day, I forget how long it was. It wasn't much. But the time come when I had to keep kiss her and say goodbye. And I wasn't going to get to see her again until she come walking down this aisle of this church a few hours later. And, you know, we was in anticipation of that moment, in anticipation of that time. I was looking forward to it. She was looking forward to it. But preparations had been made and had to be fulfilled. God said, look. Jesus said, tarry till I come. Amen. We got to carry on. Can't be sitting there staring. Can't be sitting there just waiting. I had to get ready, man. I had a uniform. I didn't have to go buy a suit, didn't go have to rent a tux. I had a uniform. Uncle Sam provided me with a wedding garment. Amen. She had a wedding garment that her mother had lovingly sewed for her and had made. And it was absolutely astounding, absolutely beautiful in all the things that her mother had done, and all the little beadwork and the lace work. And Sister Peggy and Brother Curtis were here. They could tell you she was a beautiful bride. But preparations had been made. He said, you'll receive power. How do we do these things? How do we get the bride ready? It takes work. Amen. It takes work. It took lots of work for her to prepare. It takes lots of work for some of these weddings to get put together. It used to be, you know, a wedding was just a simple thing. You come and you had a wedding and you went and had a cake and an ice cream reception and went home. Now everybody thinks you got to have a big elaborate dinner. We have just blown everything in life plumb out of proportion. Y'all know I'm going to be a great grandpa again. You know, it used to be they would call and you didn't even know till the baby was born. Hey, man. Whether it was a boy or a girl. And then they come out with the ultrasound and they would go home and they'd call you, hey, mom, pop, guess what happened? It's going to be a boy. It's going to be a girl. But now they can't even do that. Now they got a, what do they call that thing? A gender reveal party. It's got to be an issue. Just pick the stinking telephone up and tell me what it's going to be. Hey, man. We can take the simplest thing and make a mountain out of a molehill. I had to go stand around looking at a bunch of boxes this afternoon to wait for them to let some balloons go to find out whether I was going to have a great-grandson or a great-granddaughter. Amen. And she had to drag me there. Amen. I love my grandchildren. I love my great-grandchildren. But my lands don't frustrate me over them. Amen. We've made weddings into such an ordeal anymore that they can't just walk down the aisle and say, I do and I do. You got to have 20 bridesmaids and 20 groomsmen and this uncle's going to do that. And they got all this planned out and then half the people never show up for a rehearsal. And then you can't get them to the church on time for the wedding. Amen. It's the truth. And it tries your faith. You can see the brides just boiling, and they're just wondering if everything's going to come off. And they wonder how it's going to happen. How's this going to go through? How's it going to be fulfilled? And sometimes as we work upon the bride of Christ, we wonder the same things. Have you dealt with these people? You know what the bride of Christ is? It's the people who are saved. The people that we lead to the Lord. That's how we work upon the bride of Christ. Amen. That's how we build the bride of Christ. And we can't do it in and of ourselves. Man, her mama sewed her dress. Her mama helped her. Ours got married. I said, here, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll give you $10,000 just to go up to the courthouse, get married. I'll give you $10,000. You can put it as a down payment on a house. Amen. And you'll be just as married as if you wasted $10,000 on this big elaborate wedding. You know what we had? We had a big elaborate wedding. My wife says, oh, a wedding ain't never going to cost no $10,000. I said, who are you kidding? I've listened to you too and watched you too. You look at every piece of junk and I read every bit of mail and everything that comes along. If I get away for $10,000, it'll be cheap. I'll count it a bargain. Hey, man, it's the truth. It tries your patience. My daughter was able to get married because she had mama helping her. She's able to be a beautiful bride. She had mama there behind her. Hey, man. And dad was financing it. Yeah. You ever see them cards? You go up to the tuxedo place. They got these cards you can buy if you're the bride's father. And you can hand them out to the reception. Hey, you know, I'm the one that paid for all this mess. You know, nobody recognizes me much, but I'm the one that paid for all this mess. Just in case. I seen them up there. Hey, man. But there was help. Jesus said he wouldn't leave us to this work alone. We didn't have to do this by ourselves. He said because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God was going to come and we was going to be endued with power from on high. And praise God, they had to wait for him to come. But I'm glad he's already come. I'm glad when I asked Jesus into my heart, he took up abode in my heart. And he sits on the throne of my heart. And he directs me and he guides me. He strengthens me and he encourages me. And he teaches me, and he helps me, he comforts me, and he instructs me. He's there for all I need. Help is already mine. Help has already been provided. Back over in John chapter 15 and 16, Jesus told the disciples, but when the Comforter is come, praise God, I'm glad we have a Comforter. I'm glad he showed up, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth forth from the Father, and he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And then in chapter 16 it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive mine and shall show it unto you. You know what? We don't have to go through this thing. We don't have to worry about how we're going to minister. We don't have to worry about how we're going to do this. She's all right. Amen. We need a little more action in this church. Amen. We need a little more excitement. And some people not afraid to get excited about the service that they're in. Amen. Don't worry about them. Amen. They're not going to bother a thing. Praise God. He said he would send us the help. We have the power. People say, well, Pastor, I'm just afraid to tell people about Jesus. Why? You've got the power. Amen. If he directs you to somebody, he tells you to witness to somebody, he burdens you to go on visitation, don't you think that he's going to be there to help you? Amen. Don't you think he's going to be there to instruct you, to give you the words to speak, the things to say, and show you the way to do this thing, how to deal with it? And every individual is different. Every situation is different. And the biggest complaint, that they have all kinds of reasons. They've done all kinds of surveys about why people don't want to tell folks about Jesus, why folks don't want to witness. Some folks are afraid of misleading people. Some folks are afraid that, well, they know their life isn't what it should be, and they're afraid if they testify, people are going to point the finger at them and call them a hypocrite. But the biggest reason that people won't witness is they're afraid of being rejected. Don't you realize it's not you that's being rejected? It's Jesus Christ. It's the Lord. He said, you'll have the power. He said, the Holy Ghost, the promise will come. We have the power tonight, church. We have the power to turn a world upside down. We have the power to effect change in our communities. We have the power to effect change in our own families. But we got to utilize that power. We can't just sit back and wait for Jesus to come and hope that all our friends and family and loved ones make it. Because that's just as foolish as those that are hoping that they're going to make it. Amen? So many today think that they're going to heaven, but they're going their own way. He says, but ye shall receive power. We have the power. But what do we do with it? Glad you ask. We have the plan right here before us. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Oh, why are we here? Why are we in this world? Why have we been left here in this low land of sin and sorrow? We're a child of the King. We've been born by the blood of Jesus, birthed into the family of God, adopted, we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. So why are we still here? He's got a plan for us. And it don't involve sitting around gazing up at the eastern sky. You men of Galilee, why stand ye here? Jesus said, I'm going to give you the power to go into this world and be witnesses unto me. Let me ask you something. Did you tell anybody about Jesus this past week? From last Sunday to yesterday, did you witness to anybody about Jesus? Did you tell anybody about Jesus? Were you burdened for anybody to tell them about Jesus? Stop and think. We let opportunity after opportunity go by in our life, and we don't tell anyone about Jesus. Oh, we might get around a bunch of Christians and we might talk about Jesus. We might get around the folks that we're comfortable with at work that we know are believers, and we might talk about the things that have happened and our relationship to Jesus and how good Jesus is. But did you tell anybody that was lost and on their way to hell this week about Jesus? Why stand ye here gazing? He's give us the power, the plan of what to do with the power, to tell the world about Jesus. Have you talked to your family? Good place to start. Have you talked to your friends? Good place to start. Have you talked to your coworkers? We tell everybody about our church. Oh, come on now. You need to come to church. You need to come to church. You need to come down. We got a good church. We got a friendly church. We got a loving church. And we got this going on. We got this program. You need to come to church. Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church never saved anybody. But did you tell them about Jesus? Did you tell them about Jesus? God called the Apostle Paul, met him there on that road to Damascus, and changed his life, and sent him on into the city, and told him where to go. And God had a servant in that city by the name of Ananias. He told Ananias to go over and lay his hands upon Paul. And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Ananias was just like many of us. But God spoke to him, just like he speaks to us through his Spirit. Just like he tells us when it's time to witness and it's time to testify and who to witness to and who to testify to. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church a few years later, says, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. He goes on in the next chapter, say, when we came, we didn't come with fancy words and enticing words and sweet words, but we came preaching Christ and him crucified. Don't you see and don't you understand that God has a purpose for our lives? And maybe that person that you witness to will be the next Paul of our age. Amen. Maybe the next Esther that's willing to stand in the gap. Maybe the next Hannah that's willing to raise up a child and give him unto God for God's service. God says you're to be witnesses of me. Ananias was afraid just like we are. But Jesus said, we have the power. Jesus told him to go. And let me tell you what, when the Lord says go, he don't make mistakes. When the Lord directs you to an individual, he don't make mistakes. They might reject you, but praise God, he will fulfill what he's intended to do through and in their lives. If you'll just fulfill his plan to be a witness unto him. Let me ask you this. How many of you now will let this week go by without telling somebody about Jesus? Do you realize how important an assignment, how important and how great an opportunity has been presented unto each and every one of us? That's why we hand tracts out. If you just give one tract out, if everybody that received the tract this morning will give one tract out, look how many tracts we put in people's hands. But you look around your church, you see them throw down in the pews. There's one laying on the floor right down there. You see them everywhere. Opportunities missed. Because we're afraid to do what Jesus has enlisted us to do. We like to sit on the pew. We like to hear the preacher preach. We like to say we're waiting on Jesus to come. But that's not what he told us to do. Why stand you here gazing? Why stand you here gazing? Go and do what he's told us to do. Amen. We have the power, we have the plan, and we have the place. So I just don't know where God wants me to minister. Well, start right at home. Amen. He said, you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. That's where they lived. That's where they were. That's where home base was at that moment. Amen. Good place to start is always at home. Amen. And then in Samaria. You know where Samaria was, don't you? That's where nobody wanted to go. and then Judea, and in all the world. Each one of us have a responsibility somewhere in our lives. Not all of us are called to be missionaries to go on the foreign field and into the foreign lands. But we're all called to be a missionary in our own backyard. We're all called to fish our own ponds. Amen. And I don't know about you, but my ponds are loaded. Oh, man. We got to have Michael Combs in this church sometime. We got to have him come and sing for us sometime. Because he's unconventional. He'll stir your heart. He sings a song called Going Fishing. Amen. And he's not talking about the fish. He's talking about the men, the people that he's caught. And he talks about some of them that he's caught. And at one line, he said, he even called some, I'd like to have had mounted. You know what he's saying? He's seen some that have been pulled out of the deepest and darkest dregs of society and become Christians because somebody was willing to go to where they were. Somebody was willing to fish where they were at. If you're going to go fishing, I don't care what you're doing. If you go fishing, it's work. I don't care if you're going to go to the pond, you got an old farm pond in your backyard, and you're going to go down and fish in your old farm pond. You got to go find some bait. You got to get all your stuff together. You got to make your way down to the fishing hole. You got to find a place to fish. And then you got to wait. And you got to be patient. And then if you catch them, the work starts. Amen. Granddaughter's husband killed a deer up to the house yesterday. Everybody that kills a deer calls me, hey, can you come down here? Amen. I killed a deer. I don't know how to gut it. I said, well, what are you killing a deer for if you don't know how to gut it? She said, get down there and show that boy how to gut that deer. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Sitting in the woods and enjoying the scenery is the fun part of it. When you shoot that thing, the work starts. But we forget about that. We forget about putting the effort in to doing it. We forget about all that's going to transpire because it's so exciting to be there. It's so exciting to go fishing, even though it costs work. We need to feel that excitement and having the privilege and the opportunity of telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. We've been endued with the power. If you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, the Spirit of God has took up abode in your heart. Do you believe that? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. What the Bible teaches, that's what the Bible said. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless, I'll come. He lives within us. He empowers us, he helps us, he directs us, guides us, shows us what we should do. We don't have to do it alone. He's told us what we are to do, to be a witness of him, and he's told us where to do it. He said, and you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Matthew, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Mark, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In Luke, and he said unto them, that thus Is it written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So why stand ye here? Amen. I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you as you go forth. Tell somebody about Jesus. I'm looking for him. I'm waiting for him. But I need to be busy about my Father's business until he comes. I need to occupy till he comes. I need to use my talents until he comes. I need to gain others until he comes. Let's stand to our feet tonight.